What a wonderful blessing. Guys, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us and encouraging us. You guys are getting the short version of this sermon. I'm going to cut this way back. So as we've been going through Acts, we realized that the Apostle Peter was set free by God. We talk about the miraculous power of God and how he can do all things. And he set Peter free and put him in a place where he was able to get out of a bad situation. And so we pick up in Acts chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. It says, "In the morning there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what would become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. He'd been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they now joined together and sought an audience with him. After securing support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing royal robes, sat down on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, 'This is the voice of God, not of man.' And immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But God continued to spread and to flourish." Now, the reason that I really wanted to make sure we talked about this today is because of the idea of elevation. God elevates men. Now, sometimes when God elevates men, it makes sense, right? You look and you go, Moses was a great guy, perfect guy to elevate. He's humble, he's caring, he's leading people, so it makes sense for God to elevate him. We look at guys like King David, a wonderful, kind, compassionate shepherd. Makes sense to elevate him. But then we look and we see somebody like Herod, and we think to ourselves, what on earth is God thinking? This man is so arrogant. You know, Josephus, when he recorded this event, when he recorded Herod going and talking to Tyre and Sidon, it says that he had a robe made of silver, so that the minute that the sun hit him, he shone. This was a man who thought that he was a god. This was a man who had spent his life trying to establish and prove to everyone around him that he was superior, that he was better, that he was elevated. And I can't help but stand in awe of the fact that a man like this is elevated by God. Why on earth would he take such a person with so much arrogance and elevate him? By elevating this man, 16 soldiers lost their lives because of the work of God. And Herod, being the kind of man that he was, being arrogant and prideful, couldn't stand the thought that in any way, shape, or form, his power could be overthrown. He was the king. He was the ruler. He was the one that deserved the power and the authority. And so when he finds out what's happened, in fury and in rage, he strikes out and kills these men. What a horrible, horrible thing. And then, after this happens, he flees. Flees to Caesarea. Why? He was embarrassed. All of his power, how he was going to show the Jewish people that he had control, that everything worked in his ways, gone. He was embarrassed, and he was looking for an escape. You see, in Caesarea at this time, there was a festival going on to honor Caesar. And so he went and escaped. Now, I want to bring this up, especially for you guys who are at NYR, because a lot of times when God shows us what's going wrong in our lives, when he reveals to us, you are not all that you think you are. You are not as powerful as you think you are. You are not this all-amazing person, our tendency is to escape back into what we know. He runs off. We do it with entertainment, don't we? We watch movies. We distract ourselves. We keep ourselves from recognizing what God is trying to do in our lives, and we hide from it. And you're walking back into a world that wants to distract you. You're walking back into a world full of people that want to get you refocused. And some of you will probably have a blastus in your life. A person who will come and go, oh, no, no, you don't need Christ anymore. You don't need, yeah, that's fun. Good, go have fun up there. Enjoy that week. But when you're back here, remember who you are. You remember you're the fun person. You're the party person. You're the guy that makes everything amazing. And our world is trying to do that. You see, what Blastus led Herod back into was, even though God had rebuked him and tried to show him, you don't have the authority to destroy my church, he still kept coming back at it. And he did everything that he could to elevate himself. As we see, Herod got worms. Now, when Josephus wrote about it, he said that it took 5 days for Herod to die from those worms. 5 days of excruciating pain. And, you know, as I think of Julianne's story, talking about the rocks in the bed and all of those things, I can't help but look and say to myself, this 5 days was God's way of screaming and pleading with Herod, repent, recognize that I am God, change your life, honor me, turn it around. And Herod would not. But you see, the thing is that God elevates men for his glory. See, it doesn't matter how we respond. God will be glorified. And so even though Herod dies unrepentant, unwilling to turn things around, God still showed, listen, I'm stronger than any leader. I'm stronger than any kingdom. I'm stronger, and I will protect my people. I will give them strength, I will encourage them, and I will lift them up. And our God is the kind of God that takes these people. You see, the thing, I want to touch on this briefly, because, see, every person is elevated. All of us are elevated in some way. Somebody is looking at you. Somebody is watching you. Somebody is growing based off what they see in your life. And we have the choice to look at ourselves and go, wow, I'm the popular kid. Everybody likes me. I'm amazing. And give ourselves the credit for what's going on in life. And if we do that, God will be forced to humble us. But here's the thing. He gets his glory either way. He gets his glory either way. What you do will not deny God his glory. If a king, if somebody who's elevated, somebody who's put in charge, elevates themselves, God will still find a way to use it for his glory, just like what he did here. And he did it over and over again. Pharaoh thought he was all powerful. Walks in talking about how amazing he is, and guess what? God breaks down every power he has. Every god that Pharaoh worships through the plagues he proves are false. When Pharaoh himself thinks that he's all-powerful, God takes his firstborn son and crushes him in the Red Sea. He came to nothing. Why? Because he wouldn't honor God, but God was still glorified. King Saul refused to honor God by following his will and being obedient. He tracked David down for no reason, but guess what? God still used Saul to prepare David to be the king that he planned for his people to have. God still used it for his glory. Nebuchadnezzar was ready to throw 3 innocent men into a burning fire to prove that he had the power to be the God of everything around him. And God turned it around and used it to show that I don't care who you are. Your soldiers can die in this fire, but my people will not die. You see, God elevates men for his glory. And the choice, the only choice we have, is when God is using you, who are you going to elevate?
Are you going to elevate God or elevate yourself? Because God says that elevated men must elevate him. In Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 through 20, it says, "When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, and you say, 'Let us set a king over us like all the other nations around us,' be sure to appoint over you a king the Lord your God chooses. He must be from your fellow Israelites. Do not place a foreigner over you, one who is not an Israelite. The king, moreover, must not acquire great numbers of horses for himself, or make the people return to Egypt, or get to get more for them. For the Lord has told you, you are not to go back that way again. He must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver or gold. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law taken from the Levitical priests. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of his law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites, and turn from the law to the right or the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over the kingdom of Israel." You see, elevation, as God is pointing it out, is not for our own power. It's not so we can amass great armies, so we can gain the world. It's not so that, to put it in our modern terms, so we can have the mansion on the hilltop, the fancy limousine. It's not so that we can put our portfolio out for everyone to see and say, "I am in charge of a Fortune 500 company." And I'm not saying don't. If God places you there, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But what I'm saying is, if all you're doing is to amass, to gain, to control, to have, that's against God's will. He didn't want them to do it for their own personal power. He didn't want them to do it for their fleshly desires, to try and get whatever they can out of life, whatever makes them feel good. He didn't want them to use it for their personal wealth. He wanted a king who would recognize who he was as Lord and Savior, and that he would reign in a way that recognized that he was equal to all the others. Being elevated isn't about us. It's about honoring God. You know, there's a story in Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 18, where Paul and Barnabas are heading into a town. And as they enter, they're preaching the gospel, and Paul heals a man walking along the way. And all of a sudden, these people are like, "The gods are among us!" And so Barnabas is Zeus, because he's the quiet one, and Paul is Hermes, because he's the speaker of the gods. And all of a sudden, these people are rushing around, getting ready to sacrifice cows, and they're getting ready to honor Paul and Barnabas. But I want you to see something that is a very, very huge difference. See, the big difference between these two stories is that when Herod is honored as a god, when they say, "This is not the voice of a man, but the voice of God," Herod goes, "You're absolutely right, and I'm glad you noticed." But look at how Paul and Barnabas respond. It says in the scriptures that they tore their clothes. That was their way of mourning, saying, "No, please don't do this. Don't look at me and say I'm worthy of something special. Don't honor me. Please recognize that the God of the universe is the one that provided this healing. Please understand that there's nothing special about me. I'm simply a servant of God, and I need you to recognize and bring him glory." See, we must understand that God elevates men for his own purposes. They aren't always the ones we would choose, but he uses them for his glory. The choice that we have is to decide whether we will recognize our gifts are from God and honor him, or if we will choose to honor ourselves, leading to our own destruction. It's just that simple. It had a lot more cute flourishes and stuff to throw in there, but the bottom line is that we have a choice to honor and elevate God. And when his glory is raised, good things happen. It says that as Herod passed away, that the word of God spread. God's glory comes no matter what. And we have to ask ourselves, which side are we going to be on? Are we going to be on the side of God and be faithful, or are we going to seek our own glory? Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you now, and we just want to thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you that you give us examples like Herod to teach us, to show us, to help us to understand that no one can stand against you, that your power is insurpassable, that there's nothing that man can do to topple you. And whether it's like we heard about the girl from Columbine who was asked if Jesus could save her and still shot in the head, or whether it's miraculous like Peter and how you set him free, we just know that eternally you set us all free. You give us eternal glory with you, and we're so thankful. And Lord, we pray that our hearts will not be like that of Herod, that when you reveal to us the wrong in our hearts, that we'll step back and say, Lord, I want to find you. Help us not to be distracted by the world and the things of the world that help us find comfort in the wrong things that we're doing. Help us to glorify and honor you, Lord, because we know that you're the only path to salvation. You're the only hope. You're the only way that we can find eternal hope and peace. So I pray, Lord, that we'll be faithful servants, that we'll seek you, and we'll do it all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.